Divine Shepherd Lutheran Church and School in Black Hawk, South Dakota, is happy to share God's Word preached for you by Pastor Randy Sturzenbecker. We pray that you will rejoice in Christ crucified and resurrected for you. The waters of baptism, the Lord's Supper, and the forgiveness of sins, all for you, from Jesus.
Our Old Testament reading from today is from Zechariah chapter 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he. Humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot of Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off. And he shall speak peace to the nations. His rule shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you also, because of my blood, of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope. Today I declare that I will restore you to double. This is the word of the Lord. Please join me for the catechetical review, the third petition of the Lord's Prayer. Thy will be done on earth as is in heaven. What does this mean? The good and gracious will of God is done, even without our prayer. But we pray in this petition that it may be done also among us. How is God's will done? God's will is done when he breaks and hinders every evil plan and purpose of the devil, the world, and our sinful nature, which do not want us to hallow God's name or let his kingdom come. And when he strengthens and keeps us firm in his word and faith until we die, this is his good and gracious will. Our epistle reading for today is from Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who as though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by being obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and in every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord.
Gospel today, you may remain seated. This is the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 27th chapter. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus said, "You have said so." But when he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many things they testify against you?" But he gave no answer, not even to a single charge, so that the governor was greatly amazed. Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to release for the crowd any one prisoner whom they wanted. And they had then a notorious prisoner named Barabbas. So when they had gathered, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release for you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ?" For he knew that it was out of envy that they had delivered him up. Besides, while he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent word to him, "Have nothing to do with that righteous man, for I have suffered much because of him today in a dream." Now the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor again said to them, Which of the two do you want me to release for you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "Then what shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" They all said, "Let him be crucified." And he said, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Let him be crucified." So when Pilate saw that he was gaining nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood. see to it yourselves. And all the people answered, His blood be on us and on our children. Then he released for them Barabbas, and having scourged Jesus, delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole battalion before him. And they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. And twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and put a reed in his right hand. And kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! And they spit on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him and led him away to crucify him. As they went out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. They compelled this man to carry his cross. And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull, they offered him wine to drink mixed with gall, but when he tasted it, he would not drink it. And when they had crucified him, they divided his garments among them by casting lots. Then they sat down and kept watch over him there. And over his head they put the charge against him, which read, This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Then two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and one on the left. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, You who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. So also the chief priests with the scribes and elders mocked him, saying, He saved others, he cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now if he desires him. For he said, I am the Son of God. And the robbers who were crucified with him also reviled him in the same way. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is, my God, why have you forsaken me? And some of the bystanders hearing it said, This man is calling Elijah. And one of them at once ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink. But the others said, Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And the earth shook, and the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. When the centurion and those who were with him, keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe and said, Truly, this was the Son of God. This is the gospel of the Lord. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Well, this last week I met someone. I made a new friend. And after she found out I was a pastor, she was eager to tell me about how she was a Christian. And she attended one of the other churches, Christian churches here in Rapid City. She was most eager to tell me about her faith in Christ. And she was asking me questions, and I never really got a chance to get a word in edgewise, because in her eagerness, she just, now that she knew I was a pastor, she just wanted to really tell me all of these things. One of the things that she said to me, though, was this, and it really struck me. She said, Pastor, Jesus is like my favorite dessert. He's like my best friend. That's how I see him, she said. And so she asked me what I thought about that. So I thought for a minute, and then I said, Well, I don't really see Jesus as my favorite dessert or my best friend. I said, No, because he's much more than that. He's my Redeemer. He's my risen Savior. He died for my sins. When I said that to her, I got the strangest look, as if she had never heard those words before. Now, I don't doubt her faith, and I'm not questioning that, but I guess I probably rocked her theological world a little bit, because she kept on asking me why, with this puzzled look, why I wouldn't think of him as my best friend. After all, she said, you talk to him about everything, right? I responded with, yes, but he's more than just a friend. He's more than my best friend. I don't think my friend that I just met this week had any idea that this conversation we had would wind up in my sermon for today. But it ties in because, as we heard in the processional gospel today, which recounts Jesus' entry into Jerusalem, I think there were many who may have seen Jesus in this similar vein as my new friend did. After all, here's Jesus riding in on the donkey. These fickle crowds had assembled to see their pop star, Jesus. He's the one who had raised Lazarus from the dead and performed all of these amazing miracles. And for many, this was a source of pleasure, and they were simply awestruck. He was the great magician coming into Jerusalem. Now, can you picture these massive crowds? It's the beginning of Passover, and as they came to see Jesus entering the city, for many of them, there's no depth, there's no belief, there's no recognizing that he is the Messiah who has come to save them. They have no idea that his fate has been sealed and he will be brutally tortured and executed on a bloody cross for all of them by the end of the week, and for all of us, that he would suffer and die. For many of the same ones here who shouting later in the week, crucify him, crucify him, were shouting and singing, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. For he was perhaps just a passing fad for many of them. We clearly see from the scriptures that Jesus isn't some passing fancy. Zechariah tells us to rejoice. He says, your king is coming to you, righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. In obedience to his father, he rides into Jerusalem this Passover week as the perfect sacrifice once for all, who would atone for the sins of the world. There was a song written a few years ago by a popular Christian recording artist, and the chorus of it goes like this. Like a lyric to my favorite song, you stick with me all day long, and when I reach the end, I want to hear it again, hear it again. This song contains similar sentiment to being my favorite dessert. Sentiments about favorite desserts and songs may be well meant, but a dessert or song can't save me. We don't find them in the hope and promise. We don't find in them the hope and promise of forgiveness of sins. For me, if I look at my Savior as my favorite dessert, well, that's Reese's peanut butter cups. And they can only go so far. And here's the problem. Usually I eat too many of them and I end up not feeling so well. This can lead to sugar comas and indigestion. Jesus doesn't do that. I don't want him to be like my favorite dessert, because that would mean he's only a temporary fix or a high I get from having some chocolate peanut butter goodness, and then I feel bad afterwards. I don't want him to be like my favorite song, because after a while, I need a break from that. My ears get tired. If I think of Jesus as a pop song or a dessert, I've relegated him to something that only gives me temporary satisfaction and is fleeting. So my question for all of you this morning, dear saints, is do we do this? Do we sometimes just want to make Jesus like our favorite pie or tune that gives us temporary pleasure? Do we reduce the Son of God to a mere passing fancy or pleasure that we compartmentalize, or fashion him into the God of our own choosing? That he's there to bring you pleasure, bring me pleasure in some way when I need him, only when I need him, that I can get release from, that tastes good or makes me just tap my feet to rhythm. If we look at the disciples this week, throughout this week in the Passion readings, look at what they did on the night that Jesus was betrayed by Judas. They all ran. They all scattered. This may have had something to do with them and their own illusions as to what a Messiah for them should look like. After all, they didn't expect him to be arrested, let alone crucified. He's so popular, and how can this happen? Maybe some of them looked upon him with certain sentiments as well. Peter couldn't see Jesus clearly and what he was about to do because he was too blinded by what he thought Jesus should be. I'll follow you to death, Lord, is in so many words is what he had said. And of course, when the going got tough there that night, Peter bailed too by denying Jesus. And our Jesus took upon himself this humiliation, this suffering and dying willingly. In our reading from our epistle reading from Philippians today, Paul tells us this. He, Jesus, didn't count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Dear saints, this is Jesus, the Son of God, born to die for you. And thanks be to God that he turned all of our expectations, our preconceived notions of ours, inside and out. He's much more than anything pleasurable that we can fathom or imagine in this fleeting life of ours. God in the flesh, who came into this sin-sick world to die for you and for me. Jesus is not a pop star. He's not our favorite deserter song. He's so much more than any of that. He wasn't interested in winning over the elites and pleasing the masses, certainly not the religious elites. He didn't come to save us from political opponents, earthly oppressors, or political agendas. He was the greatest counterculture revolutionary of all time, when you really think about it. And dear saints, your humble Savior riding on a donkey, this is the one who went to the mock trial where false accusations were brought against him, and yet he remained silent. He endured further mocking by the soldiers as they crowned him with thorns, who plucked out his beard, adorning him with the purple robe. The crucifixion, horrible death on the cross, suffering, dying. He gave his life for me and for you. Jesus, this is the Messiah who rode into Jerusalem on the donkey, not as a popular conquering hero would, the one who came to die for us, fickle, sinful creatures whose passing fancies come and go. This is Jesus who ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father, who is not only the perfect Lamb, but he is also our high priest who intercedes for us now with the Father. Through this, you and I know what it is to be freed from bondage to sin. He was willing to be bound upon that altar there for you and me, and this pleased his Father. The psalmist tells us in Psalm 118, he has made his light to shine upon us. Bind the festal sacrifice with cords up to the horns of the altar. Jesus was bound. He was chastised. He was bruised for our transgressions. Because of this humble king riding into Jerusalem on the donkey, you and I now have access to the Father and peace with God. knowing that on that day, when we close our eyes for the last time, we will be with our Savior. We will be with him for all of eternity. In the name of Jesus, amen.